I want you to turn back this morning to Hebrews chapter 13. I hope I have a word for this hour. And I hope that I especially have a word from God to those of us who He has in His providence gathered in this place today. I take the title for this message from a verse in an old hymn that says, O Thou who changeth not. That's who I want to talk about. O Thou who changeth not. On one hand around us, there are many cries for change. And I guess this has to be a confession that things are not as they should be. And they are not as we would want them to be. But there is only one change which man can bring. And that is described in Paul's words to Timothy when he says, But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That statement has proved true, certainly in the political world. And it is also being proved true right now in the business world. But it is never more true than it is in the religious world. Worse and worse. And it is a change that takes place simply by men offering salvation by works, and then someone else coming along offering in the light of that failure more salvation by works. Someone during the service on Wednesday left some flyers under the windshield wipers on all the vehicles. And it was one of those kind of things wherein the attempt is to scare you in the light of the present hour. Using Scripture. Using current events. Warning and threatening and such as that. But when I read it, it was simply someone trying to cause somebody to flee from one kind of salvation by works to their brand of salvation by works. And then on the other hand, there are many changes that are taking place. But they're not changes that we like very much. They're changes in the world, that is, in its morals, in its politics, and in its economics. And more than that, changes in us and changes with us, that is, in our bodies and in our situations and in our relationships and in our surroundings. And I say these things that we might honestly confess the reality of this hour and the reality of our own selves and the reality of the inability of all of the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. Because real hope and real consolation are not to be found in looking to man for change or even in seeking to change ourselves. The foundation and the only ground and place of any hope is in looking to God as He is in Jesus Christ, who never changes. He never changes. You see, man vainly imagines that he can bring about a change in this world for the better. But the reason that he never can is because he does not know the reason that he can't. And the reason that he can't and the reason that he hasn't is because he cannot change the root of the problem. And that is us. Do you get really displeased with these politicians? The reason that they are the way that they are and things are the way they are is because they're just like us. And that is the way it has always been since Adam's fall, and that's the way it is in every sense apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. The words of Jeremiah stand so very true. He said, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin?" You say, "That's so foolish." You know he can't. Or, "Can the leopard change his spots?" Oh, no. That's foolish. He says, "Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." Man cannot do good any more than the black man can change his skin, any more than the leopard can change his spots, because he is essentially and inwardly sinful and evil and depraved. And so if we look for any kind of a change in the positive in man, there will never be any hope for you or me in anything, and especially in the matter of our souls. But look down at that 8th verse. He says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." If everything in us and everything about us and everything in the world around us is changing, God bind us, mind, body, spirit, and soul, to the unchanging Christ. There is no change in Him. And when you stop and think about it, unchangeableness applies only to God. God Himself never changes, and there is no volatility, there is no unpredictability, and there is no excitability in God. So when I call upon you to look to Jesus Christ, when I call upon you to believe on Him and to commit everything to Him, I am saying to you nothing less than look to God as He is in Jesus Christ. Because if He is the same yesterday and today and forever, He is absolutely nothing less than God manifest in the flesh. The psalmist wrote this of old. He said, "Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure, yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years have no end." Now, the amazing and the wonderful thing about that is God attributes that very thing to His Son. Hold your place and turn back to Hebrews 1. Here in this same epistle, in Hebrews 1 and that 8th verse, it says, "But unto the Son He saith." In other words, God the Father says something to the Son that He never says to the angels or to anybody else at any time. It says, "But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall fail not." He will not grow old, and He will not grow weak, and He will not grow unholy. He will never cease. This is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and forever. In other words, He who was before all times and continues in every age will beyond all times so continue to be the same. He will not change. As a matter of fact, when the Spirit of God directs John in the Revelation to describe Him, he says something like this: "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come." In other words, every word of grace, every word of truth, every decree, every purpose of God flows out of Him and through Him who is the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change in His essence. In other words, He exists in an eternal constancy of perfection. God has always looked to His Son. He exists in this eternal constancy of perfection, and He does not alter in the least degree. That is, His worth, His person, His promises, They do not change in value like our stocks or our money or our retirements. And this is why it proves so foolish to have any hope or any confidence or any dependence on those things that God has already told us are going to change. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And he may not be a man with a gun. He may be a man with a plan. He may be a man that comes to you and tries to make your life better. He makes make your bank account bigger, whatever it is. But he steals from you. And so God points us, warns us of that very thing, and he points us to him who changes not. He said, in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the riches of God's grace. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All the promises of God are yea and amen in him. All of God's salvation. All of the eternal inheritance. All of the mercy of God. All the grace of God. All the everlasting love of God. They have always been in Christ, and they'll always be in Christ. And so the only way that we'll ever possess the lasting, the true, the real, the genuine, and the eternal, and especially righteousness, which God gives as a gift, is to get them in Jesus Christ. And God has given them to His people in Christ. And if we could just see that, He is the same, and He changes not. He is forever that one rock. He is that sure foundation. And He is the one who said, as God, I am that I am. Period. And we have no interest in that which is precious or true or lasting, or glorious, or eternal, except we have an interest in that one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Not only does he not change in his essence, he does not change in his will and purpose. He is infinite in knowledge. He knows all things. He cannot and does not have need to be taught anything. Nothing can take him by surprise. And his desires and his designs and his decisions, whether they be in time and whether they be in eternity, they are all you ever make any bad decisions? Do you ever have, in your attempts to change things, do you ever make any bad decisions? He doesn't. He never has. He never will. And I pray that God, the Spirit, will bring us, that He will, if nobody else, He'll bring my heart to bow my decision to his decisions. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His decisions are not only perfect and right, His designs and desires perfect and right. They cannot be thwarted in any way or at any time, and they cannot be improved on. You think you can make better on the perfect will of God? Paul said, this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Rejoice in it. The writer of Ecclesiastes, the wise Solomon, beyond human wisdom, by the Spirit of God, said, I know that whatsoever God does, whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God does it that men should fear before Him. He does it forever. You look at your health, it won't be forever. You look at a few dollars you got stuck back in an account, it won't be forever. You look at this nation, it won't be forever. You look at all these things that occupy our attention and that we cling to for our comfort, it will not be forever. But what God does. That's why I don't want salvation by my works. It won't be forever. That's why I don't want it by my will. It won't be forever. It's only what God has done and what He has done in Jesus Christ that will be forever. By the prophet Isaiah, he calls us to this truth. He says, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. In other words, one thing he's saying here in this is, I will use whoever I will to effect my purpose. And he likens him to a ravenous bird. What's that? That's a hungry bird. That's a bird that gobbles up everything in sight. That's a bird that if turned loose on us in the purpose of God, can gobble up our health and gobble up our possessions and gobble up our families and gobble up all these things if that is the purpose and will of God. And the only hope we have is that His purpose is a purpose of grace for us in Jesus Christ. Because if He's purposed grace for us in Christ, if He's determined to save us as His people, if He's determined to make us righteous in His Son, that all the ravenous birds that might be turned loose upon us, they can gobble up everything in the changes that they bring, but they cannot change that which is the same yesterday and today and forever. They can't gobble up. They may be turned loose of God to gobble up all these things to cause us to trust more fully in Christ. To show us that the only lasting thing is Him and that salvation that is in Him. All His purposes are the same. He desired to glorify Himself in the salvation of a people which He loved and chose in Christ before the world began. He predestined, as the Scripture says, and predetermined all things in heaven and earth around this, and sent Christ into this world to accomplish all things necessary to justly do it. Just turn to Ephesians 1. The only way we couldn't understand that is if we are in a state of spiritual blindness, which is our natural unwillingness to believe it. This is God's doing. This is God's work. This is God's purpose. It says it on the page. And if we cannot believe it, it is simply because we will not believe it, and we are like the Pharisees that he spoke to and said, he said, "You will not will to come to me that you might have life." You see, Christ was and is and always shall be the justification of his people, the redemption, the righteousness, the wisdom, the sacrifice of his people. He was always the surety of his people, the substitute of his people, the Savior of his people. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Paul, writing to Timothy, speaks of this Savior God. He says, "Who has saved us?" People are talking about when they got saved, or they're trying to urge people to get saved. It says, "When he who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." And the only way you'll ever know anything about salvation is when God shows you that salvation is something outside of yourself. Salvation is something accomplished by someone other than yourself. Salvation is accomplished before yourself. Before you ever had a will, before you ever sinned an actual sin in your flesh, it's in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, He was the Lamb, the Bible says, slain from the foundation of the world. He was the Lamb John saw and said, "To behold who takes away sin." He is the Lamb slain by wicked hands according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And He is the Lamb that John saw enthroned in heaven as one that was newly slain. Why? How could He say He's newly slain? He was just like newly slain. Because He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the one who said, "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." So that hadn't changed a bit. That was the Father's will, that is the Father's will, and that always will be the Father's will. And it will all work not only to the salvation of every one of His sheep, but to the praise of the glory of His grace, worlds without end. Because He does not change His free and sovereign grace to His elect. Somebody said, don't use that word. It'll kind of confuse people. No, we were born confused. And God's word, which is truth, which is pure and right, in the hands of His Spirit, teaching us, is the only thing that will unconfuse us. When they were going out in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, preaching the gospel and bearing witness to the truth, they were described by the enemies of God in this way. These are they that have turned the world upside down. No. Ever since Adam and his race fell in the garden, the world has been upside down. And it's only by the truth of the gospel. It's only when men and women are brought to believe on Jesus Christ and to cast off every other hope, only then will the world be right side up. He does not change in His sovereign free grace. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, perfection, glory, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That people that God loved in Christ before the world began, He loves them right now, and He always will love them. His purpose to save them was their salvation. He's not going to change. He's not going to look and say, well, you didn't do exactly right today, so you're lost today. You're not saved 1 minute, lost the next minute, up 1 minute, down the next minute. What kind of a God salvation would that be? Now, if I was saving you, you'd be most of the time down and out. Or if I thought that's really the way it was, and that you were truly 1 minute saved, I would run quickly with a gun and shoot you and kill you so that before you unchanged, you'd go on to heaven. That'd be stupid, wouldn't it? That's not God. That's man. That's just another way of man. With respect to His not changing in all His grace, it says, His compassions fail not. His mercy endures forever. His love is everlasting. His righteousness endureth forever. And so His truth and His judgments, His word endures forever. And this is made manifest in that He said, not one jot or tittle will fail. Not one. They used to have men sit down all the old scrolls and manuscripts that we have and have had over the ages, even of the Bible. They would have men to sit down and hand copy all those manuscripts, all those scrolls. You suppose a man ever made a mistake and put a period here that should have been over here or something like that? I imagine it happened. But God preserved the perfection of His message, of His truth, of His promises in Christ. He preserved them through every kind of hell and happening that has come to this world, everyone that rose up to destroy His message, and yet it's still the same. You ever hear people talk about the contemporary gospel? No, it's called the everlasting gospel. You know why that is? Because God is still the same. And sadly, man in himself, he's still the same. Most importantly, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He does not change in the efficacy and the application of His work. You see, Jesus Christ is the same in all His offices. He is the one prophet. He is the one priest. And He is the one king. That is, as the one prophet called that prophet, He is the only one to reveal God to us. And as that priest, that one priest who is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, He's the only one who can represent us before God. And as the King of Kings, He's the only one to rule over us. The only one. And He is the same as that one mediator between God and men. We have in our day so many self-appointed mediators. The Pope is a self-appointed mediator. You can't talk to God or go to God. Or Mary is. Or this priest is, who is as wicked as anything could be. Or even this preacher who commands people to come down and shake his hand and he'll pray for you. And yet the Bible says there is one mediator. What's that? A go-between. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And the reason why men won't preach Christ is because if they preach salvation of the Lord, salvation by grace, salvation not by works but in Jesus Christ, they'd have to abandon immediately all their man-honoring, flesh-exalting things that characterizes religion in our day. God still will not accept anyone but His Son and those who are in His Son. The only ones He saves are those He saves by Christ, those who are washed in Christ's blood, those who are made righteous by God, who in grace imputes His righteousness to them. And Christ's work is that work of righteousness. It was a debt paid. It was a ransom delivered. It is the surety satisfying God in every point. It is according to truth, and it is grounded in divine justice and based on divine faithfulness and unchangeableness. Now that man is a liar who says Christ died for everybody, and then who turns around and says that somebody's going to go to hell. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that either Christ's work was not really a success, or that it depends on one hand on something man does to make that work a success. You see, if that's true, if Christ died for everybody, everybody, as one man said years ago, every person in hell would be a testimony to the failure of God. That's not going to happen. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The words of Malachi, which were the words of Jehovah God. He says in Malachi 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And that's only half the sentence. He says, "Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." You just change it. That characterizes us from the day we're born to the day we die. Nothing but change. It's downhill from the day you die. You don't get any better in this flesh. Your health don't improve as you grow older. You get closer and closer to leaving this world, and as He said, it's certain that you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain you're not going to take anything out of this world. But he said, I don't change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, that's the name by which God's elect are called, so as to remind us of what we are in our own selves and our own character, like David, like Jacob, the conniving, swindling, wretched creature that he was. I don't change. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Not because there was anything lovable in you, but because I loved you. I chose you not because of anything I saw in you or that you would do. I just chose you because I loved you. I predestinated all things concerning you because it was necessary in order to save you, and determined to bring everything to pass to accomplish that goal and to glorify myself. And I sent my son to die in your place, to pay your particular debt, to bring that ransom that sets you free, to satisfy all the claims of my justice against you, to make him to be sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not changing. I'm not changing. Deuteronomy, it says of him, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Turn back to Hebrews 6 a minute. Hebrews chapter 6, and look down in verse 17. He said, men, in order to confirm, supposedly, an oath or a promise or that something is truth, they swear by the greater. As a matter of fact, man has no hesitancy to invoke God to back up his lies. The Lord told me to do this. So help me God. No, listen to what it says in verse 17. He says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope, hold of the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. This goes into heaven itself. Not that veil in the tabernacle or the temple that separated the holy place, but in the presence of God. Whither the forerunner is for us entered. Who's the forerunner? Jesus. Made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. It's not as if you'll do something, Christ will go into the Holy of Holies and offer His blood for you. That's not it. No, He says Christ, when He was crucified, shed His blood, buried, raised from the dead, and that He entered in as the priest did with the sacrifice of His blood for all His people. And He said it's by two immutable things. Two things that cannot change, because God cannot change. His purpose and His promise. God's counsel and oath, which never change and alter, and from which He never varies, assure the salvation of all who are in Christ, their priest. Who did that high priest represent when he went into that Holy of Holies in the tabernacle once a year and sprinkled that blood? He represented Israel. He didn't represent all those Egyptians or all those peoples of the of Canaan, such as the Hittites and the Jebusites and such. He went in and represented the people of God. And that's why Paul said, we are the true Israel. We are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and who rejoice in Christ Jesus, and who have no confidence in the flesh. The work he engaged in on the behalf of his people, he declared finished. The death he died in our place, he died once. The sacrifice he offered to God for our sins was one sacrifice for sins forever. The sufferings he endured in our behalf, in the behalf of those who trust him, brought them to God. And his work for us changes us, and his work in us changes us, but he never changes. And his work has brought all his people into an unchangeable state of being justified before God. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. You know, this assures the continuance and the accomplishments of His church. I would never prepare a message or stand to preach if this were not true. But he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's what he said. It's fixed. It's true. So be it. It can't be changed. And not only that, but this also assures us and reminds us that his past power is his present power. There are things that, humanly speaking, I would love to see. And most especially as they pertain to the souls of men, to the souls of those that the Lord has brought under the sound of this ministry and gospel, to family members and friends and acquaintances all around, the things I would just love to see. I pray for. But this reminds me that the reason they haven't happened isn't because of want in His power. No. It's because He hasn't in His purpose to do it. At least, not as of yet. But it doesn't matter how hard my friend, my child, my neighbor, my parent, doesn't matter how hard their hearts may seem to become, doesn't matter how bound up in a false religion they seem to be in grip, it doesn't matter how how hard they seem to be against the truth. If he was able to save Saul of Tarsus, if he was able to save me, then I certainly cannot despair of his having an inability to save whom he will. You say, well, I'm not very good at talking to my children or my friends or my family or my co-workers and such. I'm not really either. But I try to get them under the sound of the gospel. Try to get them to read this or listen to this or what have you. Not because I'm able to persuade and not because they're able of themselves to believe. But because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Bible says that the Messiah is one who is mighty to save. The psalmist said, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days in the times of old. Why hasn't God opened up a new Red Sea or done a lot of other things that He did? Because He didn't want to. Because this is a spiritual hour in which He goes in to the hearts and lives of men, and He binds the one who holds them and spoils his goods and sets them free from the bondage of their own self-righteousness and sin, from the bondage of Satan. He delivers those who Satan has taken captive at his will. And maybe it'd be good for us to look back and read that 5th and 6th verse of Hebrews 13. Concerning our daily life and all these things. He said, let your conversation or your conduct of life be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. You see that? That's not something that he's saying, well, this is the way you ought to be. No, he says, this is the way to be. This is the way you are to be. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I wonder how many people this past week, just this past week, had great portions of their fortunes to leave them. To just kind of disappear. It's amazing. That which is on paper, it can be gone so fast. But he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. All the hubbub about the presidential election and all the hubbub about the stock market and all the hubbub of religion. All right. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And this shows us that He is the only safe refuge, the only sure thing, the only salvation, the only true hope, the only true God. And this shows us that He still receives needy sinners who forsake all and trust Him. He's the same prophet, the same priest, the same king. To those who trust His work, He still sends His gospel. His gospel is still the same. It concerns Him and what He's done. And He still says, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He still says that to His people who wander and stray, who worry and fret and such as that. "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And I'm the same yesterday and today and forever." Take refuge in Christ and rest in the unchanging Son of God and His accomplished salvation. Here's the whole verse of the hymn that I mentioned. "Swift to its close ebbs our life's little day. Earth joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O Thou who changeth not, abide with me." That's my prayer. Father, this day we give You thanks for Your great glory, especially as You manifest the glory of Your grace and mercy in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Fresh avails that sacrifice, that blood, that righteousness for all Your people. May one of Your sheep this day find Christ revealed in them. May they be brought to rest, to trust, to believe on the One who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grant to us confidence in Him. For we pray and ask and thank You for all things. In His name, Amen.